Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Well, without further ado, we are in Acts chapter 5. Kind of one of those things that we all wonder about or see or witness or experience ourselves, because we being in the world, we see how the world reacts to us as believers. And sometimes it can be pretty heartfelt when it's with somebody that we love, and they don't understand us and they can ridicule, especially with politics, which again is just a hard subject, can divide and separate families. But a lot of times that's entangled with our beliefs. And that's the hard part. But still, it's how do we navigate through these things, and what's going on and everything is something that, if you will, if we look into this, we'll see how God is. And then through these things. So, if you will, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Chapter 5. Let's start in verse 15. So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter's passing by might fall on them. Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up, and those who were with him, which the sect of the Sadducees, and they went, and they were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison, or jail. But as the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." When they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, or jail, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prisons shut and secure, and the guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men which you've been put in prison is standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went to the officer with the officers and brought them without violence. They feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in the name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with the doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has also exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you as we come to your word. Help us to, again, just have eyes to see and understanding. So sometimes we feel like we really are swimming against the current, that we are alone in our faith. Help us to understand that with you, we are always the majority. So Lord, we just pray that you would bless our time together. Help us to think these things through. And we just thank you for our time together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, who were the Sadducees? Well, the Sadducees, if you will, they come from the leading families of the nations, the priests, the merchants, the aristocrats. I was going to say the aristocrats. I don't like, it's always in my mind, the aristocrats. That's a dadgum. Aristocrats. They were the wealthy, the educated, The high priest was typically a Sadducee, as here. And the bulk of the Sanhedrin, which was the governing body, were Sadducees. They were materialistic and were mostly concerned with their security and position. Sadducees, the word means the righteous. They believed in free will to the extent that man is responsible for his own prosperity or misfortune. That all history was the result of human decisions. They believed in God, but that God blesses the righteous and helps those who help themselves. They accepted only the first five books of the Bible written by Moses, rejected the oral teachings and the prophets. They were considered the conservative, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, immortality of the soul, heaven or hell, angels, demons, or spirits. They had probably a struggle with the miracles that were happening around them. So all this that you understand about the Sadducees, you understand why they were sad, you see. It's easy to remember that. The difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Sadducees believed in the here and now. This is it. What you make of your life is all about now, baby. Does that sound familiar? That's pretty much it, isn't it? That's what they're trying to teach our kids. Now, we see that God has a sense of humor here, because through this passage and leading up to it, what we see here is the supernatural occurs several times. And so what it does, it attacks their worldview. And as one writer says, it's like God has given them the close encounters of the spiritual kind. Turns their worldview upside down. What they desire is to keep that intact. Why? Because again, what they desired was their position, their power, their popularity. Well, not even their popularity, really, just their position. The Pharisees were more popular than the Sadducees. The Sadducees just had more control, because again, they were the rich and the influential. Again, sounds familiar? Now, what I want you to look at is just as we go through this, we'll see how God interrupts their way of thinking throughout this. All these things. See, understand the first thing to take notice of who that God is using. He's using the uneducated. He's using the apostles. Remember, the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, they were the highly educated ones. They were the ones in the know. Just listen to us. We know what's best for you. Sound familiar? So if you do what we say, the experts, we'll be in peace and harmony. We'll live together as you continue on your direction of being the peasants and us being the ones overlooking everything and collecting everything. Which is the other thing to take note of, is the high priest and his family were in charge of all the temple courts and the money changers and all that good stuff. They're raking in the money. A religious prophet. Now, knowing that, who is he using? The uneducated. Fishermen. Who are these guys standing here in front of us? What do they know? And yet, remember, they learned that, they remembered that they were with Jesus. But again, take note of this. As we're going through this world, as we're struggling in some things, and some things we're not. I mean, let's face it, we're in a blessed country here. But take note of this. Because a lot of times we think the way the world does, and it's about our position, our education. No, that's not the way God works. Remember, we've talked about this. God looks for availability, not ability. God looks for somebody who says, you know what, I believe God can. God will do. Too many times we sit there and we think, oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to educate ourselves, we've got to grow, we've got to do that. But God is the one that looks for those that will just say, here am I, Lord, send me. And that's what we see here. Remember, Paul says it this way, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Listen, no flesh should glory. See, that's the good thing about it. If you don't have much to offer, you think of the world. you got a lot to offer to God. Why? Because you're the one he's looking for. Because he wants those that will not take the glory, no, say, look at me, I'm so educated, I'm so well-versed, or whatever. No. God's just looking for people that just say, you know what, God, you get all the glory. I just want to be used by you. May that be us. Second thing I want you to notice in verse 15 and 16, that God takes supernatural healings of the sick. I mean, just think of this. They're being healed all over the place. What are they to do with this? It's like, there's got to be an explanation. There's got to be a reason these things are happening. But again, what it shows, if you will, it shows the compassion of God. Do we all are healed? No, but remember this. God has compassion on us. He loves us as his children. Remember Jesus? He's the best example just for us to understand this. In Matthew's gospel, he says, when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. That's how God sees humanity. Lost, groping around in the dark, and his light shines forth in truth. For who? Oh, us again, the light, shining through us, letting the world see their safety, their security here in God's presence. In verse 14, going back, we saw We also see something else that's interesting. The deliverance of unclean spirits and demons in verses 15 and 16. Now, wait a minute. These guys aren't demons. There's something else going on here. They're not demon possessors. No way. This can't be happening. This is in the physical world. This is spiritual. We don't believe in that. These people just are either mental or they have other problems. But yeah, maybe they're just weeping and crying over their position. So again, God was pushing the boundaries, pushing the limits of their minds. And if you will, ours. Let us go back now and understand something. We're walking in a spiritual world. I know it's physical, but there's spiritual beings all around us. And it's time that we take note of this, but also understand something. That the good news of Jesus Christ is to open our eyes, as Paul said, in order to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. See, again, to enter into the supernatural, when the demons are, if you will, manipulating and coercing, and sometimes even, if you will, a lot of people don't like this word, but because understand the reason why the word's a hard word for people to accept is possession, because ultimately everybody has free will of their own being. But what happens is when somebody opens that door to be demonized, they can be influenced so mightily that they feel possessed. And they relinquish their right to their own spirit. I know that's complicated and everything. The bottom line is this, is that God reveals is that we're walking around in enemy's territory, if you will. But the thing is that greater is he that's with us than he that's in the world. And we'll talk about that a little later. But the reality is those that do not know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior are trapped in this spiritual dilemma, in the darkness. And when Jesus came, all of a sudden, something totally opened up. What was it? There was somebody that came to this earth that was so much greater than anything on this earth, spiritual or material. And he would cast out demons. The demons were afraid of him. Again, it was taking the world, the Sadducees, and it was taking their belief and putting it on their own head. They couldn't believe this. What was with these spirits? They can't be real. There has to be an explanation. Now, I have to tell you this. Let's just go here and digress from real quick. Man, I tell you, those videos are just getting crazier and crazier. How they're able to do AI and everything. Now, I know there's still glitches because you can see them, but it's just amazing how they can show things like it's real. These creatures and Bigfoot's been found. I want you to know that. Aliens, they are real. And, well, you know, again, through these videos, not only that, but hey, it's the weirdest thing, but you can also see bears eating at a table, Bigfoot walking down and talking. I mean, it's just really weird things you can do with AI now. How much more is it going to be deceiving when there are signs and wonders that happen apart from God, because God's going to allow it at a time. But I digress, because I believe that's time that we're out of here. But still, it takes discerning, doesn't it? But still, at this point, again, the spiritual world is a real thing. And God was showing it through the deliverance of unclean spirits to the Sadducees. In verse 14, we see a great amount of people being added to their teaching. Now, again, this caused jealousy from them because they were going away from their teaching, their doctrine, and going to these uneducated people that believed in things they didn't. And they're like, well, wait a minute, what's going on here? So you know there was jealousy involved here. What about, though, in churches? You know, we are few in number. Do we get jealous of those churches that are bigger? Do we envy them? We have to understand something, myself included, that God is the one who increases. Now, it doesn't take away our responsibility. Don't misunderstand me. And we're to be the light. We're to share. We're to love. But we're not to steal sheep either. That's the other thing that we have to take note of. We don't go around trying to get people to come to our church because they're going to a different church. Hey, that's not the point. Never is. They're in a good church. They stay there. And God, unless God calls them out. That's not our job. It's to the sick. It's to the hurting. It's to those that do not know Christ. But the understanding of this is that God increases, not us. Remember what Paul said? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And again, what was happening here is the Sadducees couldn't see this, but God was moving in their midst. And what was happening was people were coming from the darkness into the light. They were being healed, if you will, in their hearts. That the joy of knowing something more than just the material world was happening before their eyes. And yet they couldn't grab it. They couldn't see it. Why? Because it's what you touch. It's what you taste. It's what you feel. It's what you possess. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what the world is struggling for right now? Isn't that where wars and rumors of wars come from? Why? Because you have and I want. I'll take. And I'll fight you for it. Whereas we as believers understand something. God is the owner of all things. We walk in truly in His world. Even though it's being influenced right now by the enemy, again, this truly is going to be God's world. To understand these things as we again, live our lives out in this world. Now, if you look at verse 17, they were influenced. They were filled. Yeah, they were influenced, all right. They were controlled by indignation. It's anger, jealousy, envy. Look at verse 18. They threw the apostles in jail. All 12 of them? All 12. Verse 19, God uses His angel to set them free. We don't believe in angels. Well, God's going to use an angel to set them free. Again, do you see God's sense of humor here? Look at verse 20. Tells them to go stand in the temple and tell the people, all the people, about what? Eternal life. The very thing they don't believe in. Eternal life. Because you are more than what you see, you hear, you clothe yourself in. It's eternal life. I've come to give you life in it more abundantly, that you may understand that your life is more than what you eat and drink. That God is concerned what's going on inside you. He knows who you are. He desires to be a part of that. He wants to have fellowship with you. And yet, again, the Sadducees were so wrapped up in themselves that they couldn't see it. What they have, what they want, what they need. Doesn't that describe the world? Now let's talk about angels really quick. I don't want to miss this. We're going to see something. The angels are going to be throughout the book of Acts. And God's going to use them, directing, guiding, encouraging, even one time judging. Angels are all about you. Now, in the 80s, it kind of got too focused on angels, and everybody was talking about angels, angels this, angels that, and putting angels actually above the Holy Spirit. No, 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 no. Angels only assist God. Understand that. But they're here. Do you know angels are around us right now? Right now. They desire to look into what we're doing about the truth of the gospel message. They're amazed by it. Remember, they have no way of getting salvation, those that have fallen. So just think of that. Angels watching us, knowing that we are saved because of what God has done. Knowing that their fellow angels that have fallen, there's no hope for them. But don't misunderstand me. It's not like they have pity for them. They don't. Because they were in the presence of God. They knew the glory, the holiness, and the love of God. And yet they still stepped away from it. But take that to heart, that we're walking in this world, and it is enemy territory, like I said, but ultimately it's God's world, but God has his agents around us. It kind of reminds you of Elisha and his servant, right? When his servant went out there and he looked around the city that they were at, and it's like, oh, look, they're all around us. We don't have a chance. All this physical army. And Elisha, I just picture him rubbing the sleep from his eyes. He says, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And it did. And all he saw were these soldiers with flaming swords, if you will, surrounding them. God surrounds the camp of the Lord. His angels. Right now, we are protected, if you will, around angels. So why would they have any influence here at all? Why would they have any influence in our lives at all? Simply this. You and I, at times, foolish. Why? Because we allow them to have it. Now, don't misunderstand me. It has nothing to do with us personally, as in our salvation or anything. I'm talking about just throwing those darts at us, like it says in Scripture. They throw these fiery darts. Even now you're sitting here and you're doing well. Then all of a sudden, maybe you'll have a fleshly thought. Now, what do you do with it? That's the thing. And that's what God's telling us. That we move around, and it's true, but we wrestle with, not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with powers, the rulers of darkness of this age. So it's for us to understand these things, to be wise, to know that there's going to be thoughts, and if it's not a godly thought, then where do you think it originates from? Even if it does originate from our own lower nature, it still has a little boost, if you will, from the enemy typically. So it's to be wise about these things. But again, we see this, Sadducees, again, example of the world, is that they don't want to touch this stuff. They don't want to even think about these things. They think that all their desires to rule, to be godlike, is originated from themselves. Well, no, it wasn't. We know it originated from the enemy. Now, verses 21 through 24, when the Sanhedrin assembled together, they called for the prisoners, the officials, find the prisoners, bring them out. The officers go. The jail secure. The guards are still standing in front of the doors. Nothing's disturbed. They open the door. Guess what happens? They're not there. All 12 of them? They're gone. No human explanation. I know some commentaries will actually give you a human explanation. No. It's the same thing that would happen to Peter here in a few chapters. God did a miracle. God closed the eyes of the guards or whatever. Opened the door, brought them out. But I want you to look at this. They tell the high priest about all these things. Look at verse 25 and 26. Someone comes in and says, hey, they're back at the temple teaching. So without making a scene, they bring the apostles to the leaders. Now notice something. The high priest doesn't even ask, how did you get out of jail? How'd you do it? Now, there's those illusion shows, you know, it's neat to see this magic and stuff, but there was there for a while, it was showing that, I remember that show that was showing all the secrets, how they did these things, and it's amazing, it really is high-tech stuff, but you're always going, okay, how did you do that? Now, here's the thing, man always tries to duplicate, the enemy always tries to duplicate, but the truth of the matter is God really is the one that's beyond the physical realm. But he moves in and out because he created it. Now, again, for these Sadducees, it should have been more of a question, how did you do this? How did this happen? But they didn't say that at all. Notice, too, the high priest never mentions Jesus' name. Look at this. Stop teaching in His name. You have filled Jerusalem with the doctrine, teaching, resurrection of the dead, eternal life. Intend to bring this man's blood on us. What man? What's his name? Now, take note of this. Why? Because the blood is on them. They even said it. Do you remember at the cross? Well, actually, even before that, Pontius Pilate said, hey, I washed my hands of this blood. They say, all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and our children. It is on them. Now, let's understand something here quickly. No, it's not just, because, you know, there was, the church went through a bad time when they blamed the Jews completely about killing Jesus. Jesus went to the cross willingly, but who put Him on that cross? You and me. The Romans, the Gentile world, representing the whole world, and the Jews, the chosen ones, they all hung Him on a cross. What's that saying? God's saying, you all are guilty. There's none righteous. No, not one. All have sinned. So to blame one ethnic group is ridiculous. We all did it. We're all guilty. We hung Him on a tree. Now, notice what He says in verse 29. Peter says, we ought to obey God rather than men. Take note of this. Think about this. Peter's saying, look, you're telling us to be afraid of you, and you're telling us not to do these things anymore. But who to obey, God or man? Jesus told us, only fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. But He's also the one that says, I've come to give you life more abundantly. For He so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not die but have eternal life or perish. So it's to have a reverence and awe for Him, which we've been talking about, God. Or do we fear man that's able to kill the body? That's it. And so Peter, in essence, is saying, what do you want us to do here? Obey you? No, 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 no. Obey God. Because that's what we're supposed to do, because we understand something. God has entered into the realm of man to interact with man, because God is active in humanity. Get that? He's not this far off God. He's not this God that's going, gee, what's going on down there? I don't know what to do. God's not perplexed about what's happening in the Middle East. He's not perplexed what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. He's not perplexed what's happening in this country. God knows what's going on, and God is active everywhere. But God desires for everybody to be saved. Even though He knows all will not be saved, that's His desire. All would become believers in Jesus Christ. And so throughout the world, even though physically there's an oppression in the church, God is moving powerfully through individuals. And the church, because of God, is increasing. The more the world puts pressure on the church, the more it grows. The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church that causes growth, it's been said. So will we see more and more oppression? Probably. I don't want to burst anyone's bubble. I love this country just as you do. And, you know, it's our responsibility to be good citizens. If you want to know our responsibility in the political, is to vote for those that are closest to our belief system. And, you know, good news. There's many that are in government now. Wish all of them, but there are those that you hear that are believers. They're born again believers. And they really are trying to make a difference. We should be praying for them. Pray for all of them. Just think if salvation came to our government. Wow, what would happen? Just think if salvation and awakening happened with the people. What would happen to this country? Bickering and the fighting. Joining as one in Christ. Will that happen? Only God knows. And even if it does, not to burst any bubbles here, it'll only be a temporary fix. Because eventually man always goes back to the darkness as a governing body. Even the church struggled through that. But when you get power, prestige, fame, money, it can corrupt. Because all of a sudden now you're thinking about the world. And that's the danger thing about the church right now. The dangerous thing is that we don't get caught up in just the world and making things pleasant for us. Because when we do that, then we're missing really the identity and really the calling of the church to be a light in the darkness, to share with those that are falling away or for those that have never known. Now, let's finish this up. Verse 30, if you see, the God of our fathers, the God of our fathers. Look, he's talking to the Sadducees. The God of our fathers. What's he saying? The God of our fathers, the ones that you believe in, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, our fathers, okay? He's the one that raised up. His name, notice this, is Jesus. This, in case you didn't know, in case you might have forgot, his name is Jesus. Okay, let's make this clear. Whom you murdered hanging on a tree. The worst form of capital punishment at this time was crucifixion. But for a Jew, again, it represented something else. The curse of God. Cursed is a man who hangs on a tree. You hanged him on a tree. You knew better. But something we learn also is Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Whom you cursed in his name, check this out. What has he done for us? Jesus, whom you tried to curse, God has exalted. He lifted up, verse 31. It means dignity and honor to his right hand, the place of honor, power, and authority. You thought you have authority? Ain't nothing like what he has. And they're quoting, if you will, Psalm 110, Messianic Psalm, the one that said that he would come with power and authority. Notice it says prince. It means the originator, the pioneer, the author, the one who leads the way. To what? Savior, deliverance. He's leading the way to deliverance. For what? Repentance. What does it mean? Change of mind. My hope for you, Peter might say to them, is that you'd have a change of mind to who he is. About who? Jesus. It's the one you forgot to mention. It's his name. He's the one, Jesus, you hung on a tree. He's the one that God has set at the right hand of the throne of his own doing. Power and authority. You have nothing compared to what he has. No man has any power or authority compared to what he has. Stop. Relax. Bask. God's in control. God's the one that's delivering us. God is the one that has all the authority and power. Peter said later on in his epistle, for to this you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. That I mentioned that he looked at the multitude and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. The shepherd has come. He is the good shepherd. He is the one that is leading us home. And even though sheep following their shepherd are safe, there's still times that wolves try to come in and raise havoc in the fold. But be of good cheer. Nothing can happen. Nothing can touch you. Nothing at all on this earth. And the most precious thing that you have and I have is our soul. No one can touch. No one. Verse 32, we are witnesses to these things. What things? The death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, listen. Last thing that he says to them. So is the Holy Spirit who has been given to all who believe. Wait a minute. Let's really get this here again. We got to keep going back here. I do too. The enemy's around us. He's always attacking us. He's throwing those darts. Sometimes you just feel so weak, don't you? You just feel so tired of blocking them. Your mind just keeps going back to things it shouldn't. And then you go down this spiral and it's always the same stuff. And yet there's a truth that you and I have got to understand. It's just not those around us that are protecting us, which is good. But understand, he's protecting our soul. How's he protecting our soul? How's he doing that? How's he protecting us? And what's so different between us and the world? This key person right here. Not that Jesus just died for you. He sent his Spirit to dwell in you. You are tattooed, if you will. You belong to God. And you know what's amazing about this? I want you to take a step back and think about this. The devil knows it. No matter how much he throws at you, he knows he can't deliver you from his Spirit. All he can do is shut you up, push you down, make you feel like a failure, like a continual failure, to lose your mind, lose your temper, to lust, to covet, to get jealous. Yes, 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 but he can't touch the most important part of you. It is your soul, your spirit. He can't do it. Just trying to diminish the light. Just trying to confuse you of the truth. God says, I have. You are the apple of my eye. Corrie Ten Boom used to say, you can look without and be oppressed. You can look within and be depressed. Or you can look up and be at rest. Rest. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. You're not going to find peace in this world. So now that opens a door for you and I. The prison door is open. Okay, so let's go in. Come on, me too. Let's go in. What is it? God's saying, come into my rest. Are you laboring? Come to me. But I'm struggling. I know. But he still says, come. But what do I do? What you're learning to do, just as I am, is to say no to those voices that throw the darts, to say no to those under nature stuff that keeps rising up, and say, no touchy, I belong to him. He's the eternal one. If God is for me, then who can be against me? And God wants us to come into this mindset of understanding. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. But you have to continually do it upon yourself to say, God, I am for you. I am going to obey God rather than man, rather than my own flesh, rather than the enemy. I'm going to obey God because God is at work in and through me. Even at times when I don't feel it, when I feel like a failure, it doesn't take away from the genius, the power, the wonder, the majesty of him who dwells in Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that grand? Doesn't that bring peace and contentment? So we got to understand something. So we're marching in this world as we're walking around in it. It's not our friend. It's not for us.
doesn't care for us, just wants us to jump in line, get in line. We're going down this way. Come along. Where'd it go? Let's go. Complain. It's all right. We all do. Enjoy. Hey, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you die. And as they go down this wide path, it's just continually trying to find some meaning in this world, some pleasure that will pacify, something that can keep them going. Something. And yet you and I know something. God has put us on the path of righteousness and truth. His desire for us is to learn to walk in that truth and to walk side by side with the Good Shepherd who leads us. And start taking up the armament that He's given us and get ready for the battle. And many times for all of us, toughest battle is what we find within ourselves. God says, I've set you free. You're free indeed. So what, again, as we come to the same fork, what are we feeding? Flesh, spirit. Flesh, spirit. And it'll always come back to this game. What you feed yourself, your thoughts, your eyes, your lusts, your desires, or the truth that we just spoke about today. As God has said, I've given it all to you. I'm with you. And with me, it's always wonder and awe. You with me? We have a good God. Gracious God. A loving God. A God full of compassion. Amen? And He just desires for us to learn to walk in the Spirit with Him. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the truth again that we've talked about this morning. We just pray, Lord, as we've heard these words, as we're desiring to grow in You in our walk with You, help us to take note of them. Help us to absorb them. Help us that they would go down those 18 inches into our heart. And Lord, out of that, we pray that we would learn to listen to Your Spirit, who is truly teaching and guiding and directing us and encouraging us. Lord, we just thank You that You will not leave us nor forsake us. But we also pray, Lord, that You'd help us not just to be closed within ourselves, but open to Your Spirit, to be used by Your Spirit, to share to this dark world that there is meaning, that there is purpose, and that there is life beyond this world. Thank You, Father, for my friends here. I pray Your blessing be upon them. Help them to understand these things and to grow. May Your face shine upon them. May Your grace always be in their steps. May Your love for them always lift them up to where it should be with You. Bless, Lord, these people, Your children. May they be a guiding light to those who still are in the dark. Ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.